Hallelujah. Amen. Did you bring a Bible this evening? If you did, why don't you turn it to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. And the Bible says that many people, oh, I'm sorry, Patrick, the Studio 7, if you're here for Studio 7, they're meeting right now. That's 18 to 28-year-old ministry. Isaiah 2 and verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, for we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? God's methods of operation. God's methods of operation have to be learned. They don't come naturally to us, because we're indoctrinated into the world's systems. And when we become born again, we have to learn God's operating systems. That means we have to become students. We have to become seekers. We have to become those that are hungry, if you will, to learn, to be taught, to be instructed, so that when we go to the house of the Lord, we receive instruction how to operate in God's methods. In other words, I need to get heavenly information, because that equals earthly manifestation. If you get heavenly information, you will have earthly manifestation. I don't believe that one person is more blessed over the other. I don't believe that there's one person that has more spirituality than the other person. I believe the only difference is one person has more information than the other person. Because if you don't know your covenant, you don't have information about what God has for you, then you can't operate in it. So you see, heavenly information, or I'd like to call it revelation, equals earthly manifestation. Because every success, every victory can be traced back to discovered secrets of God. Now, this is kind of a quandary for me, because often I've asked the Lord, Father, if it's a secret, why would you keep secrets from people unless they really want to know? And isn't it that the way it was with the parables? Jesus said, I speak in parables because there are those that have eyes but they don't see, and ears that they don't hear. But those that it's been revealed, to those it's been revealed. Does that mean that God reveals truth to some and not to others? I don't think it does. I think he reveals to whoever is seeking the secret. Whoever really wants to know the information. And so every success and every victory can always be traced back to something that we've discovered. And I've been wanting, and I've been asking the Lord this week, I said, Father, I want to go on a spiritual expedition. I want to go on a spiritual discovery this week. I want to learn something from you that I don't know. You think that's possible? Of course it's possible. Of course it is. God has many secrets that he wants to give us, because heavenly secrets produce success without struggle. Or in other words, sweatless victories. Because when you have the information, it becomes easy. It might be a test, but you know the answers. You still have to take the test, but it's easy to fill out the answers. You're in the classroom with everybody else, but you're not sweating like the person who doesn't have the information, because you've taken the time to seek it out and to discover it. I was talking with pastors yesterday, about six of them in a meeting, and one of the things we were challenging each other with is the shallowness of so many today in their Christianity. Because we've learned to live our life on the surface, where things are obvious. We interpret the obvious, but we're not really looking beneath the surface. Because tonight we want to access the secrets of God. So let's look at this for a minute in Deuteronomy 29. I like this scripture. Verse 29. Here's what the word says. The secret things, what does it say? Belongs to the Lord. So let's read that together, that first phrase. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Now isn't that interesting? If I had to take a cab and I didn't have a cab fare, but you had cab fare, but you didn't need to take a cab. You have something that I need, but it doesn't belong to me. So in order for me to get it, I have to somehow ask for it. I have to seek for it. And when it's transferred from your hand into mine, it now belongs to me. And I can do whatever I need to do with it. But the secrets of the Lord belong to God. They're His possessions. But that doesn't mean He doesn't want to share them. Look at the rest of the scripture. He says, but those things which are revealed belong to who? They belong to us. So God has secrets, but He wants to reveal them. I like to say it this way. God has heavenly information, but He wants everybody to know what they are. This is interesting because this really drives me into my secret place. This drives me into my discovery of God's kingdom because not only does it belong to me now, but look what it says. It says, now that which has been revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So I can pass on to my kids that which I've mined out for myself. So if I've gotten into the presence of God and I've got heavenly information, it now becomes my possession, but it's also an inheritance I can give to my kids. So it helps me to understand as a man of God how important it is for me to discover heavenly information. Because I want my kids to know it and to receive it. The key word in that scripture is revealed. Because they have to be revealed in order for you and I to possess them. They have to be revealed. And the qualifications for discovering these secrets, they're simple. Psalm 25 and verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. And He will show them His covenant. Fear, reverence. I have great reverence for God. I have a great awe of God. So now the secret of the Lord is with those who have that reverence and who have that awe of God, who recognize that they are not a God. They recognize they need a God. They're dependent upon God. It's those people that the Lord gives heavenly information to. So I want to always keep myself humble. I want to always keep myself dependent upon God and never take the place of God. I never want to get so prideful that I think I can live or do without Him. I want to be utterly dependent upon Him. I want to acknowledge His presence. I want to be a man who's hungry for His presence. So we see the one qualification. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Look at Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. The key word there, my friend, is not prophet, it's servant. The key word is servant. God reveals His secret information, His heavenly information to those who are His servants. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life for a ransom for many. So when I take on the role of a true minister, a minister as a diaconate, as a servant, well, a minister ought to be a servant, not to be served, but to serve the people with revelation and heavenly information. It is giving the people what they have need of. And so when I become a person who is a servant, I'm qualifying for heavenly information. But number three, righteousness, Proverbs 3 and 32. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but His secret counsel is with the upright. That's why I want to live right. That's why I don't want to hide my sin. That's why I don't want to be a carnal Christian. I can't afford to do that because the secret of the Lord is with the upright. I can't walk in pride. Why? Because the secret of the Lord are for those who fear Him. I don't want to become a person who feels entitled and that I have a lot coming from others. No, I want to remain a humble servant of the Lord. Why? Because the secret of the Lord is with them. I can't live without heavenly information. I need to know what God thinks about money, marriage, my future, my healing, whatever it is, I need to have that information. Because that information is what will either give me success and victory or leave me in defeat and frustration. See, I'm motivated today. I want to know what God knows. I'm just like jealous for it. I want to know what God knows and what he has. Look at Psalm 91. You know this scripture. Psalm 91, 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In the secret place, we could say, well, that's your prayer closet or that's your alone time with God. But let's just thematically, let's keep driving this truth. The facts are that God has heavenly information, and those who dwell in that heavenly information, those that dwell in that revealed place, that those that live and abide in that place of hearing from the voice of God, he tells us that when we do that, we're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Everybody say shadow. Shadow is important because a shadow, it depicts the fact that something is face to face with the light. You can't have a shadow unless you're in light. But when you're in light, you cast a shadow. And shadows are powerful, ladies and gentlemen. Shadows are powerful. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalm 119 that the entrance of his word in Psalm 119, verse 130, brings light. The entrance of his word brings light. So for me to have a face-to-face with the light, with the revelation, with the heavenly information, I have to have an entrance of the Word of God into my life. I have to be receptive to the Word of God. I have to be open to what God's Word says to me. And so when the entrance comes, the entrance of God's Word, it brings light. And that's a powerful thing because he who dwells in the secret place, he who dwells in the light, he who dwells in heavenly information will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember, we just read that. But look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. And this is why it's so important for us to have a hunger for revelation, a hunger for heavenly information. Because this scripture gives us the results of what a shadow does. Here it is. It says, so they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. What was in the shadow? Well, by reading the scripture, it tells us there must have been healing in the shadow. There must have been virtue in the shadow. Or otherwise, they wouldn't have brought the sick to try to get in the shadow. But not the shadow of a building. Not the shadow of a Pharisee. Not the shadow of some other person. Not an animal. But the shadow of Peter. Because Peter had heavenly information. Look at Psalms 139 and verse 15. Are you there? If you're not, it'll be on the screen in a minute. How convenient. Psalm 139, here it is. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. This is explosive information. That in heavenly information, in the secrets of the Lord, things are created. Things are made. So it drives me for revelation. I have to have insight of God's word. I can't casually read it. This is why our churches are in so much trouble when you have almost 50% of those that call themselves evangelical Christians never read their Bibles. Never. A pastor yesterday told me, and it broke my heart, of a full gospel church, whatever that means today. But it's they believe in whatever. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure what it meant. But he said spirit-filled. His youth pastor finally confessed to him he hadn't read his Bible in over a year. Now, I'm not talking about a parishioner. I'm talking about the person who's leading your teenagers every Wednesday night. If there's no entrance of the Word of God, if there's no reverence, if there's no dependency on God, if there's no uprightness, if you're not living right, We just qualify for the secrets, the heavenly information. Let me tell you, what can we do without heavenly information? Nothing. What can we succeed at? Nothing. And yet we have a generation that believes we can live our life without living in the light. No wonder no one's healed. There's no shadow. There's no virtue. There's nothing creative about the local church. It ought to be the most creative place on the planet. I really believe this. I believe that there ought to be creative ideas, witty inventions, things coming to you, revelation coming, understanding coming, so that you get one word from God in a meeting and you go home and you say, you know what? God spoke to me today. That's what I expect when I go to church. I've heard too many sermons just to hear another sermon. I've got to get a word from God. But I have to hear it from somebody who has a shadow. You see what I'm talking about? So we've got to become a generation that has access to God's secrets. We need to start conducting a search. Every treasure in life, think about it with me, is found beneath the surface. I haven't done all this research, but I know this. Some oil rigs go down 2, 3, and even 5 miles. Is that accurate? Beneath the surface, they're out in the Gulf, and they're floating on top, but they're way below the bedrock. They've drilled down. Why do they go beneath the surface? Because that's where the crude oil is. Isn't that interesting? Why didn't God? He knew we were going to need it. Why did he put it on the surface? And what about precious metals? Did you kick some gold on the way to work today that was lying on the sidewalk someplace? Maybe a earring or a cross somebody dropped, but you're not going to find gold or silver or platinum or anything else. Where? On the surface. It's going to have to go down deep to get it. Every treasure is under the surface. Casual Christianity will do little, if anything, for you. Like we said Sunday, God does not inhabit the church attendance of his people. I'm sorry. He inhabits the praises of his people. The celebration of what is written of his people. Let's go ahead and define those praises. But how do we respond when something's out of place in our life? Whether that's your financial picture or whether that is one of your children, a relationship. Talked to a man this week whose 17-year-old old daughter is cutting herself with a razor blade. She's cutting herself, bleeding. And he discovered this and it just blew him away. He said, I can't understand it. I can't believe this. We've been in church. She plays in the youth band. He's just discovered this. And he said, what do I do? I said, you know, I don't know what you do, but I know somebody that does. And if there's something missing in your life, then we're going to have to mine. We're going to have to go down below the surface. We're going to have to get some heavenly information here. We need a word from God. And often what have we done? We've reverted to get a word from a psychologist, a word from maybe a prophet that can give it to us so we don't have to dig. Do you really think somebody who has just come from the hills of California and they've got a mule pack full of gold and you walk up and say, look, I really need some help. Could you give me a couple of those nuggets? You think they're going to throw them at you for nothing? They're going to point to the hills. They're going to say, there's gold in them there hills. You're going to have to go get it just like I got it. You're going to have to work for it, dig for it, pan for it. You're going to have to suffer through it. You're going to have to do whatever it takes to get it. But how bad do you want it? But we've raised a generation where we just want to get a little nugget from a prophet, throw some money at them, or get somebody's book or somebody's tape. And I'm not saying it can't come that way, but church, come on. Are we really hungry for God's word? I'm desperate. If I leave anything on this earth, I want to leave an inheritance to my children of the heavenly information that I've received. That's all I worry about. That's all I'm concerned about. I want somebody to take possession of it. But what do you do when something's out of place? Look at Luke chapter 15. Here's a parable that kind of helps us understand. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, and I know there's so much truth in this and a dowry and all of that, but I don't have time to talk about that. But if she loses one coin, just one, now you've got nine. So you lost one. Who cares? We've learned to adapt to losing just one little part of our life, of our marriage. I mean, everybody has marriage problems. Come on. I mean, you know, nobody's really that happy. Why not? Why can't you be? Why can't you expect it? You're born again, aren't you? Why can't you be delightfully, romantically in love all your days? Why can't you be that? Heavenly information will take you there. How bad do you want it? Everybody takes a little Valium now and then. Everybody's, you know, is on some kind of up or some kind of down. Everybody has to. You know what I'm saying? We just adjust to what's missing. If there's something missing, one coin, what did this woman do? What does the scripture say? What did she do? It says she lit a lamp, she a candle, she swept the house and searched carefully until she found it. And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost." Now that's a testimony. I love hearing testimonies from people who have had a piece missing, sweep the house, light the candle, found it, and then stand up and tell everybody about how it's changed their life. Now that's a real testimony to me, because it's God's information. Have you lit the candle? Are you sweeping the house? Are we hungry for what's been missing in our house? You see, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27 identifies the candle. How many know what the candle is? The candle, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. My spirit is my candle. My spirit can go down to the deep, dark places of the glory of God and find what's missing. So my spirit has to take a discovery, not my soul. And I'm so sorry to even have to say this, but I keep hearing how we have to create a church where people can come to and be relevant to where they are. If where you are is so good, why are you coming to church? Wouldn't you say we all need God? I have to confess, I got in a big argument with three pastors yesterday over this very point. On one hand, they said, we want an atmosphere that attracts God. And then they say, well, we need to make sure that it attracts men. And I said, wait a minute. You can't have both. What attracts men is beer, babes, and whatever else. That doesn't attract God. So your spirit, not your soul, not your mind, not your will, not your... You know, I've noticed something about my walk with God. Most of the time, it doesn't fit within my thinking. Most of the time, it doesn't appease my emotions. Especially when I have to lay my life down for my wife or somebody else that I have to go to them. I remember a time that a person hurt my feelings so deeply in our church. This is at least 20 years ago, so don't try to figure out who it is. But they hurt me so deeply. And the Holy Spirit said, go get a pie, knock on their door, and tell them you love them. I said, God, I am not doing that. I don't love them. They hurt me. They're talking about me. They were one of our leaders. They left the church. They caused a disruption. I'm not going over there with a pie. My mind and my spirit were on two different levels. The candle of a man is his spirit. It's what will search out the heavenly information. So begrudgingly, I had to go. I stopped at Mama Joe's and I bought a pie. And I came to the house and I was trembling. I was trembling. And I knocked on the door and I said, hey, guys, how you doing? And I could care less how they were doing. My spirit was leading me. You know what I'm talking about? And I said, I'm here today because I felt like God told me to come. And I want to bless you. And I tell you we love you in spite of all that's happened. Here, have a pie. And boy, did I want to throw it in his face. I wanted to say, here, have a pie. But I had to allow my spirit to lead me. And John 6:63 said, my words are spirit and they are life. Your spirit will search out the spirit, the word of God. And you go on this spiritual journey. Many never find that heavenly information because they're superficial searchers. Here's a definition. Concerned with or only comprehending what is apparent or obvious, that which is shallow. I've learned to read my Bible, to read what's not there, not what is there. Because there's something that's not written that's there. And when I do that, suddenly I'm discovering something. And my spirit's candle burns brighter. And it adjusts my soul. And I begin living differently. And suddenly, the people whose faces made me want to grimace and throw a pie into, I actually love. And it's weird, because that's not me. Did you ever have one of those moments? So, whoa, that's not me. You know you've been in the heavenly information room when you can say that. I meet with a lot of pastors. I don't know. I guess that's just the stage of my life. I met with a young man the other day. I know him. He's a good man. At least I thought he was. He loves God. At least I thought he did. But he proceeded to tell me a story of how somebody was bullying him. Now, I know the principle when somebody bullies you, you bless them. That's what God's word says, right? You bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you for his name's sake. He knows that. But he fought him. He hit him and used vulgar language on him. And he told me what he said. I mean, it was vulgar barroom, backroom language. And I'm sitting there at Perkins Pancake House going, whoa, Jesus. This is, whoa, whoa. You're missing a coin and you've learned to live without it and you've adjusted and you make up the difference out of your soul. And life like that is hard on everybody, including yourself. And I thought, Lord, I went home and I told Tina. She couldn't believe me. She did not believe me. She goes, I don't believe you. I said, I'm not going to lie to you. This is what happened. She goes, no way. He would have never done that. I said, he did it. And he did it in public. And he did it over pancakes. I'm telling you, he did it. Why? Because he's concerned with comprehending only which is apparent or obvious. When a man's ways please the Lord, the Bible says something like this. This is peculiar. Even his enemies are at peace with him. So, Lord, I have an enemy here that's coming after me. I have an enemy that's talking about me and betraying me. But my ways please you. So, Father, I know this is going to come to peace. I have to find that place of heavenly information about the circumstance that I'm facing. And this is beautiful in Proverbs 25. In verse 2, these also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But what does the last part say? It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Now remember, we've been talking about, remember King Angelo? Okay, you've helped me with that. We've been talking about priests pray and kings disperse. Kings disperse. What do kings disperse? Well, they disperse their wealth. They disperse their wisdom. What did Solomon do? He was a king and he dispersed his wisdom. He had heavenly information that made the citizens of his kingdom live at peace. And I said, God, I must be a king that disperses heavenly information and diffuses time bombs in people. I am an agency of disbursement on the earth. That's why a lot of people like to talk to me. I'm not bragging. They just like to call me. Hey, can I talk to you for a few minutes? I said, another pastor, I haven't talked to him in 5 years. He was talking about me for 5 years. Now he's calling me. He wants to talk to me. I just want to reconnect, brother. We haven't talked for a while. And I'm thinking on the phone, okay. Should I hang up on you now? No. I said, God, I know there's purpose in this. You sent me on ahead of him. And the heavenly information I have, he has to receive. I don't know who it'll be today. I don't know who it'll be tomorrow. But I do know this. I am getting a point of confidence in my life that there's not one problem I don't feel like we can solve. Why? Because heavenly information is the coin that's been missing. It's the pearl of the field. And it's so important to us, we'll buy the whole field just for the pearl. Because we know the value of information or revelation from God's word. We need to enter into a renewed covenant to go beyond the superficial. Now, how do you do that? Consistency is the key. Consistency is the key. You must become consistent. I've seen so many times over the years, people become spiritual bingers. They get fired up for God for about 6 months, you know, and they're praying and they're fasting and they're coming to church regular and they're sitting up front, they're worshiping. And it's like, wow, this is great. And then all of a sudden, where'd they go? They're just gone. Then they spiritually binge again, you know. Consistency is the key. Every day, every day. You get in your word. You make it a priority. Every day, every day. You say, God, show me your word. Give me understanding. Give me information, God. I want to be a shadow on the earth. I want to have entrance into your, I want your word to have entrance into my soul. And then Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, they said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. But when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. There's nothing more important to me. I couldn't even imagine me not coming tonight. I wouldn't even be in my thinking. I mean, it's my grandson's birthday today, but you know what? I can't imagine not being here. I'll celebrate with him tomorrow. My wife is swollen up and she's walking around like, but I can't imagine not being here. Why? Why? I've got a million things to do tomorrow, but I can't imagine not being in my word first. Because there's something in there that'll cast a shadow on something that needs a healing. I've got to have it. I've got to get it. And you're on a spiritual expedition every day of your life. And you must look for the discovery. And one word from God will change your life forever and ever and ever. You see, we recognize the creative power dwells in the secrets of God. It just does. It just dwells there. I'll never forget. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I'll never forget him. He was rough and gruff. He had red hair and a red beard. He was short. He was kind of fat like a Santa Claus. And he came to church and he was an angry man. This was years ago. And he's dared me to try to bless him. He dared me to try to get him to get saved. I thought, gosh, you know, what do you even bother coming for? And him and his wife were going through a divorce and been married a couple times and divorced. It's just that kind of thing. Couldn't live with him, couldn't live without him. You know, that kind of a deal. And I'll never forget the day that he gave his life to Christ and walked down that aisle and knelt down and tears running down that face. At that time, they were separated again. The next Sunday, he brought his wife to church. And he got understanding. He got some information. And doggone it, do you know that they came together at that altar? And they prayed. They asked for each other, the forgiveness from each other. And then they asked me this. They said, Pastor, I know this is spur of the moment, but could you renew our vows? I said, it's a one-stop shop, man. No problem. We could take care of this right now. So we did. And they went on to live in marital bliss. Nobody could believe it. His sister couldn't believe it. Family, the people where he worked couldn't believe it. What changed him? Information. The revealing of God's part that you're missing and that I'm missing. And when you get it, you'll never be the same again. Isaiah 45:3 says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. I am so excited about tomorrow. I can hardly wait because I know there's more treasure. I was with my family Monday. We have an annual outing that we take every year. And a lot of the son-in-laws, they make excuses not to go. But there was about 17 of us, and off we went. And they have this little activity where you buy a bag of sand with little gems in it, and the kids put it in the screen, and they mine for gems. And the kids were so excited. Now, it's not like they haven't done it before. We do it every year. Papa, Papa, look at, I got this big one. And after it was all gone, it's usually a little sad time. You know, they want to get another bag for $7.95 or something. And you're buying dirt for $7.95. You're thinking, oh. And my grandkids have learned that if you go back down in the trough and scoop up the sand that's been washed out and do it again, only pick it through with your fingers, you'll find diamonds. At least that's what they think they are. They're little chips of gems that went through the screen. And as I watched them yesterday, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you'll go down in the trough into that stuff that you think is already gone and scoop it back up and do it one more time, you'll find some stuff that you've been missing. Church, God wants to give you little diamonds and little nuggets, little precious stones of his understanding and his information. I think we ought to go there. I want to buy all of you a bag of dirt tonight. and load it down with gems. All you have to do is mine for it. While we were there inside the souvenir shop, they had these little plastic caps, you know, like a ball cap. They're a little plastic thing with a light on the front of it. And I was going to buy it for this illustration of this sermon tonight. But they wanted $12.95 for that thing. I thought, you guys are ripping us off, you know. $8 for a bag of dirt and $12.95 for a piece of plastic with a little light on the front. Forget it. Do you have a mining cap? Do you have a panning dish? Do you really believe there's gold in the hills of your salvation? Well, if you do, let's go get some. And let's change our life and change the world forever. Amen? Father, I pray tonight, God, that every one of us will have a deeper hunger and a desire to get the secrets of the Lord into our life. God, we know that one word from you changes everything. We know, Lord, that heavenly information changes everything. Help us to get our candle lit. Help us to get our broom sweeping. Not to be satisfied until we find it. And then tell everybody when we did to say, look what the Lord has done. I pray your blessing upon your people tonight, Father. Thank you for their sincere love for you, their hunger for you, their desire for you. God, I pray especially for the men, because I know where I was years ago. Stale. Just stagnant. Just kind of plodding through the thing. Loving God and going to church, but really not mining for gold. I pray tonight, God, that you would stir the heart of every man, every woman in this room. That when we leave here, we would leave with a new commitment to say we're going to get heavenly information. We're going below the surface, beyond the obvious. We're hungry for you, Lord. We want more of you. We're not satisfied. Give us a hunger, Lord. Give us a desire. Give us, oh God, an insatiable desire for more of you. More of your glory and more of your power, more of your presence, more of your prophetic gifts, more of your healings, more of your miracles. Just more of you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you said, if we seek you with our whole heart, we'll find you. You said, if we seek, if we knock, Lord, give us that hunger to ask, to seek, and to knock. Let us, oh God, find you tonight in a new way, Father, in a new way, God, in a fresh way. I pray, Lord, for a fresh relationship, every one of us to have as if it was the first time we met you, God, a first love relationship. And if you're there tonight and you're here tonight and you're not at that first love relationship, just ask him right now. Say, Lord, I need to get there. I need to come back to that. I need to know you that way again and even more beyond where I've been. Maybe tonight you're here and you're saying, you know what? I've lost my reverence for God, my fear for the Lord. I'm sort of prideful. I'm thinking I can do it without him. And I repent of that. Or maybe tonight you're feeling entitled. You're feeling like somebody owes you something. You're not really a servant. You haven't really truly served God. But tonight you'll say, Lord, you know what? I want to qualify as a person who can discover your kingdom secrets. I want to be a servant, a true servant of the Lord. Maybe tonight in Proverbs chapter 3 and 32, maybe you're not living in an upright fashion. Maybe you've allowed sin to creep in. It's crouching at the door. God even told Cain, he said, listen, sin's crouching at the door, but you can master it. You can master it. But Cain wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. And tonight, maybe sin is crouched at your door and you can master it, but you haven't done it. And it's just encroached upon your discovery of heavenly information. It's just held you back. But tonight you'll say, God, I'm going to repent of that thing, Father. I'm going to master that thing. And I want to be, oh God, qualified as a true disperser of heavenly information. And God, I pray also tonight, Father. I just pray for our church, Lord. I want us to be miracle members. I want us to be able to go into grocery stores and get a word from God at the moment of a need. I want us, oh God, to just feel Spirit-led to the point, Father, that we pray for people boldly in a hospital corridor or in a waiting room. We just go there by the Spirit. Two or three people say, let's go to a waiting room in an ICU area and let's just see what God will do. Let's prophesy. Let's lay hands on the sick. Let's believe God for miracles today. Come on, let's go and seek out miracles. God, I pray for our children that way. I pray for our youth that way, God. I pray that our church would be so stirred up, Father, that we would expect God. We'd expect you to just show up in everything we do, every all the time. Our first response is to praise you. Our first reaction is to cry out to you and say, God, I know you can. I know you can. I know you can, God. I know you can. So church, come on. Stand on your feet with me. And let's just begin to tell him that we're ready to do these things. Come on, if it's appropriate for you to have to repent, then go ahead and do it. But just between you and God. But just let him know tonight that you are hungry. He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, because they're going to be filled, and you can expect to be filled. And I pray your tomorrow devotion will be spectacular. I pray that it'll be the best time you've had with God ever. I pray that when you open up the Bible, it will light up with the glory of God, and your spirit will begin to rejoice. You'll get so excited, you're going to have to tell everybody what God showed you in the morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful opportunity to be in this place. I'm giving you all glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Amen. I pray tonight that you get stirred up about God's word, his information. He'll never give you misinformation. He'll give you the right stuff, and it'll be good. Because you can trust him. It'll be good. I have to tell you, there have been people that have given me information that I thought was good that turned out to be not good information. And when I acted on it, I got in trouble. But God will never do that for you. He'll always give you the right direction. Don't you love Jesus tonight? I mean, I think he's the best, don't you? Oh, I love you, Jesus. Woo, I love you, Lord. He is so good. Sunday, I'm going to do a part two on praise. I wasn't going to, but God just began to talk to me. And I just got this heavenly information about this that I can hardly wait to disperse on Sunday. I wish it was tomorrow. I really do, because it's been so good. And bring somebody to the house of God. Why? Not to build up the church. We don't need members. What we need are kingdom people. And let's believe that God is going to save that person that you bring. Wouldn't that be fun? Or how about the person that comes in bound with alcohol or some other thing? You know, one word can save their life. Lowell, you were telling me about that tonight. God gave them a prophetic word to a family. And they didn't heed it. And the young man did exactly what Lowell said he was going to do and nearly killed his grandmother. I'm telling you, this is a time where people need rescued. And we've got the rope. We've got the buoys. We're the lighthouse. So let's reach out and save them. Let's bring them in. Go get in your lifeboats and rescue those perishing folks and bring them in and let's give them Jesus. I'm just filled up tonight. I talked till 9 o'clock, so I'll just tell you, love right, live right, love everybody, pray hard. I'll just keep on talking because God is good, amen. All right, tell three people, you know, I love you and there ain't nothing you could do about it. All right, come on, tell them. Three people on the way out. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. Everybody, Let me tell you this. Ann, come on up here a minute. We have a family in the church who just had a death. And if you would like to help with food for this weekend, Elder Hall is doing the funeral. Please see Ann here. She is going to help organize that. If you can't make a meal, maybe you can offer some money to help buy some food. But let's bless this family in the house of God that is there every Sunday at Beachwood, whose wife went on to be with the Lord Monday. Okay? Just see Sister Ann right here. Love you. God bless.